I'm joined on the line now by Rose Hennessy from Friends of Londiani. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Did I pronounce that right, Londiani?
You did, absolutely perfectly right. It's a difficult word sometimes for people to get their tongue around.
Okay, now, do you want to tell us a little bit about Friends of Londiani and what is it all about?
Yep, we are an Irish registered charity, an NGO that works with communities in Kenya. The people that we work with are living in a rural part of Kenya, and they face a lot of challenges, especially in the area of health, education and water. So you're looking at a population that wouldn't have any electricity. About 50% of them wouldn't have running water, and they would rely heavily on subsistence farming. So any kind of an income would be an issue for them as well. And we've been working since 2002 with them in trying to address these challenges that they face on a daily basis.
Okay, Londiani, it's a village, is it?
Or is it's a town, and it also is the name of the district that surrounds the town. We've been working there for over 10 years now, so in that time we've actually spread from the Londiani district into the one next door, which is called Kilkellyn.
Okay, and what work are you doing? You mentioned water.
Basically all the work is centred around water and health and education, and they all overlap, to be honest, because if you don't have access to water and you're a young girl or a young woman in Kenya, your job is to go collect the water. So that then keeps you out of school, so that affects your education. And if you don't have clean water, well, then there's all sorts of health implications associated with that.
Okay, so you're trying to get fresh water to people in a rural area.
So there's lots of ways you can do it. Like when we started working there first, we used to put in a lot of rainwater harvesting tanks that would be attached to a roof, and then several families would share that in the rainy season, and they would have access that was on their doorstep as such, rather than have to walk too far to collect it. And we still use those, but we've also then progressed on to other systems like gravity-fed systems. If there's a spring at the top of a mountain that can be piped and brought down to the villages along the way down the hill, that can be quite successful as well. So it depends on the village and what their needs are and what their kind of resources are as well.
Okay, and you mentioned health and education, and it's all related.
They're all related, yeah, very much so. And the health, I suppose the focus for us with health is, as well as to do with kind of health and sanitation, we would have a focus on maternal health as well to a large extent.
Yeah. I've spoken to organisations before, and one of the issues that came up was hospitals and health centres in rural areas. Is there a problem with this?
The problem would be that there aren't enough of them, and that within the centres and the hospitals there may not be enough staff or enough trained staff to cope with the kind of illnesses and the health issues that come in. So, there'd be very few hospitals in the rural area that we're in. The public health office have a system where they are now doing outreach clinics, so they bring local nurses to an area rather than expect the people to come to them. And then at these outreach clinics, they'd run vaccination clinics and they'd run checkups for under fives and for mothers who've had babies, that kind of thing. So we help support that. And then when we have volunteers going to Kenya, they would often work on the outreach clinics with the local staff.
Okay, and of course, if you don't have clean water, your health is going to be affected, as you said earlier on. And as regards education, would you actually bring teachers over, or?
We bring anybody over, really. Anyone who's willing to kind of share whatever skills they have and just be flexible, and who have an interest, I suppose, in development and in finding out why certain parts of the world are living in such poverty in comparison to other parts. But we have had a lot of teachers during the summer projects, because they would have time off. So by that nature, we'd often have teachers. And they don't always teach when they go over. Sometimes they prefer to not go near a classroom. They would get involved in some other part of the work. Certainly if they're willing to share their teaching skills, there's plenty can be done in that area as well.
Okay, now, we were going to do this interview last Wednesday, but it didn't happen due to unforeseen circumstances, as people say. But last Wednesday, you had an information night, was it?
We had an information night in the Irish Aid Centre. So this was to invite people to come along and find out more about us. and find out more about our volunteering project in November. This November we have a team going out to volunteer with the community for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, depending on what kind of holidays you have yourself. And we're just recruiting at the moment. We're looking for to give people the opportunity to come out with us. And we have a closing date of the 7th of June, so people still have plenty of time to think about it and find out more.
Okay, and what sort of people now would you be looking for? What background or what skills?
Well, you have to be over 18.
Okay.
Skills-wise, if you have professional skills that you want to share that are of use to us in Kenya, that's wonderful. But to be honest, everybody has a skill of some shape or form, even in a non-professional capacity. So just having the kind of willingness to share and to, I suppose, be open to the experience and work as part of a team. The work that will happen while the team are out there in Kenya in November will include work on our Healthy Schools programme, which is making schools a healthy place for students and teachers to work and to learn. Working on the outreach clinics that I mentioned a minute ago. Working with the community on a thing called a community health strategy, which is like a bottom-up approach to improving the health of a village and an area. We'll also have things called life skills training courses running while we're there, so if you're interested in doing that, there's training before you go to Kenya on the actual content of the course and how to facilitate and how to put it across.
Okay.
So, That's basically the sort of stuff you'd be doing. Like, the Healthy Schools program could include getting your hands dirty and physically helping with building latrines and washrooms, and the health strategy could involve physically making smokeless stoves. So there's, you know, there's a mix, like, of hands-on stuff as well as, we'd say, kind of facilitation skills and that kind of side of things.
Okay, so would you be involved in actually be building schools and etc., or would it be just the smaller scale stuff?
Well, the building really would be things like latrines, which are toilets and washrooms. We don't necessarily build schools as such, but within a school, if a school doesn't have adequate sanitation facilities for kids, then we help to improve their existing ones, or we build new ones.
Okay.
So we build new latrines, and it's part of the program that the school run, that the kids actually then understand what they're all about and how to avail of them properly, and, you know, why they're important to have, that kind of side of it. So there's an education element to it as well as the physical putting it together.
Okay, so anybody out there now who is thinking of volunteering, would they have to finance the trip themselves, or what's the story there?
They can finance it themselves, or they can fundraise for it. We've had people do both in the past, depending on their own circumstances. We break down our costs into two. So we have the personal cost of actually getting to Kenya for 3 weeks or 2 weeks. It's either €1,900 or €1,800, depending on if you go for 3 or 2 weeks.
Okay.
And this covers, like, flights, food, accommodation and transport in Kenya. It includes everything, really, except for the cost of your visa and vaccination and travel insurance. When you're in Kenya, there's very little to spend money on, so you don't need much spending money on top of that. And that's the personal cost. And then we have another cost, which is a fundraising cost, where we ask each volunteer to raise €1,000. And this money goes directly into the community development programs in Kenya. So we keep the cost separate so that when people are fundraising, they know what they're asking the public for. So they're either asking for help to accommodate them to get to Kenya, or they're asking for help to fund the programs on the ground.
Okay, and would FOL, would they work alone in Kenya, or, like, would
we
you
wouldn't,
get...
no, we have, yeah. we've partnerships with a lot of other organisations on the ground in Kenya, and indeed in Ireland and around the world, so we'd work closely with the Ministry for Health in Kenya, and we'd work with other kind of community organisations in Kenya. In Ireland, we'd work with, we're part of COLOV and we're part of DOCUS, which are like umbrella groups for the Irish NGOs. And we work closely with Irish Aid. We'd get some funding from them. And various other groups in Ireland, like, for example, the Guiding Associations, which is where the origins of Friends of Andiani came from back in 2002. So we'd work closely enough with them. And then around the world, we've got various volunteers and supporters who've gathered and joined with us, I suppose, over the last 10 years. So we've got people in Australia, we've got people in America who do a lot of fundraising and who've gone back and forth to Kenya with us as well.
Would you have branches like all over the world, or have you just got
fundraising? We're not quite at that stage. I suppose we have pockets of people, we'll say, you know, who, particularly in the States and in Australia, who have gone to Kenya and who have continued them when they go home to support the people out there and to, you know, send more volunteers and continue fundraising and raising awareness, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's definitely getting bigger, like, you know, in the 10 years it has grown an awful lot, so it is spreading around the world.
Okay. And these, the projects are called Harambee, is it?
They are Harambee. It's a Swahili word. It means working together. So that kind of epitomises what the projects are about, really, is working alongside of the Kenyan people. So it's a real learning, it's a great learning experience to see what it's like to actually live in a community like that in Kenya. And the people, the Kenyan people, are extremely welcoming and very hospitable and very grateful, and I suppose sometimes even a bit overwhelmed by the fact that people will want to travel there from around the world and volunteer their time and their expertise with them, you know. And it gives them great confidence then to continue and try to improve things for themselves as well.
Okay. And after the 2 to 3 weeks, would the volunteer see the difference that he's been made? Look, would it be fulfilling in that?
I think that it is, and certainly the feedback that we've had from volunteers over the years is that it's very much fulfilling. I suppose it depends on the type of work you do. Like, when a volunteer, for example, is involved with the health strategy and puts in a smokeless stove, that takes half a day, and by lunchtime, we'll say, you can see that in the kitchen of that home there is no longer any smoke because it's all going up a chimney, and the health implications for that are very far-ranging, and you can see the results straight away, you know.
Yeah.
For the other areas, then, you might not see the results straight away as immediate as the smokeless stove, for example. But just by talking to the communities and by talking to the staff in Kenya, you the volunteers can learn and can see, you know, what difference is actually happening and the difference it's making.
Okay. Now, did you have a good turnout last Wednesday?
We did. We had a few. We had a few to the Irish Aid Centre, right, and we had another night in UCC the next night, in Cork. So we had a few people to that, and we have an office in Middleton. So anybody who's in the area, if they're interested in dropping in, they're welcome to drop in if they happen to be in Cork or if they would like to talk to us over the phone. We're very accommodating to that as well, if people had any questions or wanted to discuss it all further. And we have a website as well with all our details.
Okay, well, do you want to give out all those details now in case there is somebody out there who wants to volunteer?
Yeah. Well, our phone number is 021-4621-748. And my name is Rose, and I'm usually at the other end of that phone. The website is Friends of Londiani. So Londiani is spelled LONDIANI.com. Friendsoflondiani.com. And that has information, details on the project itself, application forms, and details about Fall and who we are and what we do.
So, right, we're appealing now for volunteers. And when is the next trip, did you say?
The next trip is in November, from the 2nd of November to the 24th.
Okay, so we'd be leaving the rain here and just probably snow and everything and going over. What, would you be going to sunshine?
Yeah. Yeah, out tonight, dry sunshine and the odd shower. We would hope.
Yeah.
And even if people are interested for maybe for next year, like next year we'll have a project in the summer and in November time. So if people want to kind of register their interest, they can phone or contact us via the website and we'll keep them updated as to what the plans are and when the next project's coming up for 2014.
Yeah, and you have my details as well, so you can contact me before the next project and then we'll talk again. All right.
Great.
If there's anything you want to, anything you want to publicise or anything like that. Thank you very, very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much for your interest and for having us on the air.
No, you're more than welcome, and it's great work you're doing, and keep it up, and I wish you all the success in the world. Thank you very much, Rose.
Thanks a lot, John.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.